When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Your Money Matters. I'm John Hanson. It's a Mesereau Monday. And the original Mesereau Monday, we chatted with Leo Harmon. He's back again. Senior Managing Director, Chief Investment Officer, Equity Management. Leo, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, John. Good to see you again. Thanks for having us again today.
Yeah, for sure. And boy, every time we chat once a month here, whether it's you or someone else from Mesereau, the landscape sort of changes under our feet. And that's kind of how it's been these last few months, hasn't it? Some ups, some downs, and hold on to the Tums.
Yes, it feels like we've been through three or four different market environments over the course of the last 8 to 9 weeks.
Right. So it's not just me.
No, it's not just you.
Because every time I feel like the mood changes. And now the latest one, although this week and the end of last week, we're better. We're back again. We're feeling okay. I mean, it's all tied to trying to figure out what the Fed is doing and trying to figure out if the Fed knows what the Fed is doing. And that really is driving a lot of this apprehension, right?
It really is. If you go back to the big end of June, we were seeing the market start to put in a bottom. People were having an expectation that inflation was going to begin to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, people were anticipating that the Fed was going to be much less aggressive on rates.
So when you finally got that CPI number that people were heralding last month, after a not so great report before that, a lot of people, I think, thought, okay, here we go.
Here we go. And then we had Jackson Hole, and the Fed chairman, come out and say inflation is our number one goal, and we want to have inflation move closer to 2%.
It was medicine without the sugar. It did not follow the Mary Poppins spoonful of sugar. Not at all. And I know that really sent the markets in a strange direction, but I think one can appreciate the communication, at least from the Fed, at least knowing what their policies are going to be. He followed it up a couple of weeks later, didn't really temper his thoughts, but he just said along the lines of, we're not going to let politics get in the way of what we're trying to do here. And I think a lot of people can appreciate that, even if it means a couple down weeks on the market.
Yeah, and I think the biggest conclusion to take away from that is, one, inflation is our number one goal. We're going to keep rates higher until inflation is done.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, because of that, you may see more volatility in the market as people look around and try to trade on very small moves in inflation indicators.
But I imagine the vast majority of us who are investing for the long term should maybe stay out of the day-to-day of this a little bit, right?
That would be our advice.
I mean, I know you've got to worry about
it. Exactly.
But that's why I want to pay you to worry about it and not me.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously there's no real consensus on this, but, you know, as we talk to clients, the one thing we really talk about is, you know, what's your asset allocation right now? And are you positioned the way you should be in this environment, given your time horizon and given your risk tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
Have you moved too far afield one way or another? And if you have, then start to dollar cost average one way or the other, back to your longer term asset allocation.
Dollar cost average, explain really quick.
That means whatever position that you have now and whatever position you're trying to get to, you want to do that over a period of time. Our ability, your ability to time the market on a single day is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to average in over time to get back to alignment with your long-term asset allocation levels is a much better prescription for the individual investor versus trying to time the market at its low or trying to time the market at its high in order to sell.
Set a plan, keep a plan.
Set a plan, keep a plan.
I like that. When we look at this number tomorrow, and obviously we had a much better inflation number the last one that came out, 8.5%, which was cooler than the 9.1, I want to say, beforehand. Mm-hmm. And expectations are maybe in the low eights, which, of course, is better. The month-to-month could actually be below zero, meaning prices went down. When you take in the whole, obviously, there's going to be individual sectors. What are you looking at? Are you looking at core CPI? What's your most important number that you want to look at tomorrow?
We look at both. But for us, the most important number is the core number,
mm-hmm.
because that is the number that the Fed keys from.
Mm-hmm.
And so the headline inflation involves both gas and food, which are volatile items within that inflation. When we look at core, we subtract out gas and we subtract out food. And so both are important, but the Fed is looking at what is longer-term inflation on a core level, and we want to address that and get that number down closer to 2%.
And year over year.
Year over year. And so we saw the peak and inflation back and headline inflation last month at 9.1, dropping into the low mid eights, hopefully continuing to drop as fuel prices move lower. But core inflation peaked out in March at 6.5% and is only slightly below 6 now, and is probably going to be a little more sticky because there are components of that, including rent equivalents, that are a big piece of that core inflation that take longer to matriculate through the economy. And it may take a while for us to get back down to that 2% level on inflation.
And Mesro, I imagine part of the strategy when talking and communicating with clients is to be open and honest about what people should prepare for, right? And I think that sometimes both ways, the punditry can get us all overhyped, get us over worried. It can also get us over relaxed. And I imagine you talking about, you know, hey, this is going to be sticky, this course, it helps you communicate with who you're chatting with about managing their expectations for the next year or two.
Absolutely. So again, you want folks to be aligned with whatever their long-term plan is and with whatever their long-term asset allocation is. Now, on the margin, if you have a change in life consequences, if you have a need for more income, if you have tax issues that you need to deal with, then of course we want to make recommendations for those clients that are suitable to address those changes in life or address those changes in needs relative to their investment parameters. But for the vast majority of us, we really want to stick to our plan, particularly if you're younger and you have a longer time horizon. You really should not be involved in thinking about the day-to-day volatility in the market. If you are a little older and you're closer to retirement, or you're closer to harvesting those investments for income purposes, then that may create more of a need for you to make nearer term asset allocations in order to address those issues. But in general, we should not be thinking about the day-to-day volatility in the market.
We're coming off of 2 quarters of negative growth, technically, by the way. It's measured by the GDP number. And I know there's a lot that goes into that number. Trade goes into that number. And there's some economists who say, you know, take heed of it. And, you know, it's one of the numbers we plug in. It's not the end all be all, but it is an important number. I think they're anticipating growth in Q3 and hopefully Q4. What's your outlook for growth here in the next couple months and into the next year?
Yeah, I think if you look at GDP as a measurement, growth is going to slow, particularly what we call real GDP.
Mm-hmm.
So real GDP strips out inflation.
Okay.
And so if you look at GDP ex inflation, that growth year over year is probably slowing to somewhere between 1.5% and 2%.
It's a little less than where we want to be, right?
A little less than where you want to be, but not a disaster. It's not a recession when you look at those numbers year over year. When we look at what we call nominal GDP growth, which includes inflation, those numbers have actually been very high. And so last quarter, nominal GDP was over 9%. The quarter before that, year over year, nominal GDP was over 10%.
Just the raw number.
Just the raw number.
Yeah.
So prices are driving those numbers. We see the same thing in retail sales, where, you know, if we look at spending and we look at job growth.
Looks like it's up.
It looks like it's up. And there's a relatively healthy economy underneath that. But a lot of that has been driven by underlying price increases.
Man. I forgot to bring my notebook here today. I'm going to school with Leo Harmon. By the way, 1-877-MESRO, that's MESIROW, or mesro.com is where you can go for more information about this and really to develop a plan. Leo, we're going to take a break. Then we got the news, but we have more, and we're going to talk a little bit globally too, what's happening and why that matters to your individual accounts. After this break on WGN, it's Mesro Monday with Leo Harmon from Mesro, and we've been chatting about the Feds and inflation. Let's talk about another area in which it's almost the most disconcerting, only because it gives us the least amount of control, and that's global events. And Leo, I wanted to do kind of elaborate a little bit more on why what happens halfway around the world, all the way on the other side of the world, matter so much even to each individual here in the United States?
Yeah, and it is certainly a great question. And a lot of things that happen globally end up in some way, shape, or form reverberating through our economy. And you can think about even the geopolitics in Ukraine and Russia, where you have two countries that have so much supply of grain and energy, and that conflict creating an inflationary environment that exacerbated an already high level of inflation, and that started to ripple through and have an effect on our economy. You know, what we're seeing now from a global standpoint is really global activity slowing on the margin almost across the globe, particularly when we look at indicators like PMI and the number of countries or the percentage of countries now that are below 50%, which means that they're no longer growing and they're no longer expanding. We're starting to see that number increase.
Growing population or growing economically?
Growing economically. Okay. So a measure of economic activity in those countries is decreasing and below what we would consider to be an expansionary level.
Now, some people might say, well, wait, hold on. But here in America, we can overcome a lot of that. Is that partly true, at least?
It's partly true. Certainly, we are self-contained to an extent where, you know, our debt is denominated in our own currency. We have enough productive capacity here to offset most things that happen internationally. But we can't truly divorce ourselves from international growth. And so if something dramatic happens, particularly with one of our larger economies, the EU or in China.
One COVID or no COVID policy? Yeah.
So all of that ends up reverberating back through our economy. Now, I think the biggest thing we're looking at is as those economies are slowing, they're also experiencing high levels of inflation. So inflation is not just a U.S. phenomena. It's a global phenomena. And all of those countries, or most of those countries, are as behind the curve as we were from an interest rate perspective. And they're going to need to raise rates. And there's a potential that they can create more global slowness, and that can reverberate back to the U.S. So that's one of the worries that we try to consider as we think about, you know, where we're going to be and how we want to position now, over the next 9 to 12 months.
When I hear you talk about that, I know a lot of people would say, well, yeah, that's why America, other countries need to be a little bit more self-reliant, whether you're talking about energy policy, production, manufacturing. And there have been discussions about deglobalization if we're going towards an era where countries are a little bit more self-sustaining. I imagine that's a difficult thread now that we've kind of opened the box to globalization. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put it back in the box. And you may not want to put it all the way in the box. I guess what I'm saying is there's probably a middle ground people are trying to chart here.
Yeah, and you want to chart that middle ground. We've, over the course of the last 15 years, have moved a lot more productive capacity onshore into the U.S. And so we are, you know, certainly more self-sufficient, mm-hmm. Even in the areas of energy. We can at some point in time supply our own demand relative to energy, even for a short period of time. But the linkages through trade and the linkages through globalization and freight don't just instantly go away and don't just instantly disappear.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to kind of put that genie back in the bottle, I guess you could say. Okay, what are clients asking you nowadays, and what's your advice to them? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is what we talked about before, is that, you know, having a longer-term perspective, or at least a perspective that is commensurate with your time horizon and your risk tolerance, is what you should be putting into place now. And so a lot of clients want to know, how should I reallocate my assets in this environment, given any changes that have happened over the last couple of years? And so the stock market has been really good for the most part over the last 5 or 6 years. Many folks may have chased that, mm-hmm. and over-allocated to equities. And now what do I do now that my asset allocation may be a little bit out of whack with where I am at this point in my life cycle? And in this point in my time horizon for investment,
I imagine a lot of people like to stick things in autopilot and assume that the plane's just going to fly okay. And that can carry you for a while, but it helps to have someone just take a little bit dive or deep. I think that's where people think I don't need someone. It helps to get someone just to get an extra pair of eyes on things, right?
Absolutely. The other thing that clients really talk about is, you know, what should I do in this environment related to both tax and income? And so we talk a lot about, with interest rates moving higher, particularly short-term rates moving higher, being careful about allocating to longer-term fixed income, maybe being short on the curve and maybe having a little lower duration around those fixed income assets. And then the other thing we talk about is, with the market being down, maybe it's a good time to have some tax loss selling, particularly if you're investing in an asset that can be easily replicated, like an ETF, mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form.
So you're saying sell the asset that's lost.
Sell the asset that's lost and buy and replicate that investment someplace else, and you can then take those losses against previous gains or against future gains in your portfolio. So by all means, talk to your financial advisor, yeah. talk to your tax attorney as it relates to some of those, but those are some of the questions that come up from some of our clients.
There's a lot of tools in the tool belt, and sometimes when we don't talk to experts on it, we are not playing the cards that we I did about 9 metaphors mixed into one thing there. Tool belts, playing cards. I'm losing my mind, Leo. I'm glad you're here to help us on out. 1-877-MESIRO, MESIROW, MESIRO.com. Leo, always good to talk to you, my friend.
You too, John. Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to talk about our Cook County property tax bills and how they're way behind, and then how that's impacting a lot of stuff, including home sales. Let's go to Mary Vandeveld first with a look at weather and traffic.